I always get excited at the front end of a brand new year. It's just so many possibilities, so much potential, so much opportunity there. And it could be that you are so glad to see 2018 in the rearview mirror. You're just so glad that's over. Now you've got a new year before you. And that's exactly what it is. It's an opportunity to see God work in fresh ways in your life. Maybe you're coming into 2019 with great expectation. God's already shown you some things he's going to do in your life in 2019. You're excited about that. The key is to realize that whatever year it is, whatever month it is, whatever day it is, we serve Jesus. He never changes. Maybe your life was rocky or has been rocky so far. Maybe 2019 is full of uncertainty. Jesus Christ never changes. You can trust him. You can rely on him to be with you even today, just as he was with us all in 2018. I've had many of you already ask me, so let me answer. Yes, Kim and I had a good time away. Christmas, New Year, seeing family, resting, wishing it wasn't raining. You know how it went. Yep, but it was good. We had a good couple weeks away. I want to thank Pastor Mike and so many others, the deacons, so many others that served and stepped up. And Michael and his preaching. I hope you were here to hear Pastor Mike Christmas Eve and last Sunday. I know you were blessed by that, and I appreciate him so much. And let me say that again, just to say it. I appreciate Pastor Mike so much, and I appreciate him. So welcome to 2019, and if you've been paying attention, as we've been saying it already for a while, it's in your newsletter on the front page. 2019 is a new, unique year for First Baptist Church in that April marks 15 years since we moved to this location, from the previous location in front of Walmart. One of the most common questions I get from folks who are new to First Baptist Church and realize that this is a freshly built building for the most part and a new location. Where were you before? Where was the church before? Well, it's that empty grassy patch in front of Walmart. That's where the church was. A church with a long and storied and wonderful history of serving Brunswick County in ministry, and God has us here now. And we will be talking about that 15 years in the weeks ahead, but especially in April. We'll be celebrating in April. And if you are new to First Baptist Church, you'll be learning more about how God moved at that time and in that history that brings us to this place today. So we're going to, this morning, begin a message series that's somewhat of an appetizer for the main course that will come in April. And the intervening months will be part of that. We'll be talking a lot about, off and on, these 15 years and the next stage of ministry. But this morning, we're going to step into a message series that leads us into our celebration of that 15 years. And by God's grace, gives us some perspective on these 15 years. Because I think that's key. I think that's critical that we see God's vision from his point of view. So I'm calling this series, The View From Here. What do we see through God's eyes? And when we look back over 15 years, what will we see when we're looking forward to the next 15, 25, 35, 150 years, or until Jesus comes back? What we see through God's eyes and from his point of view. That's so important to understand because our tendency in life, as well as in church, is to see everything from our point of view. And when we see things from our point of view, we approach God with our wants. This is what we want to happen. This is who we want to be. This is what we thought would happen. But what we need to do is approach God for his perspective. God, what do we need to see from your point of view? What do we need to understand from your point of view? So this morning, we're going to begin a short message series to help us do that in the Old Testament book of Habakkuk. And right now you're thinking, what? Habakkuk, it's that part of your Bible with no thumbprints yet. Okay, it's a short 3-chapter Old Testament book. The best way to find it is go to Matthew in the New Testament and work backward. And when you get there, you'll know it. It's Habakkuk. So while you're looking for Habakkuk, let me talk just a minute about the Old Testament prophets like Habakkuk and then Habakkuk himself and why it is we're going to be looking at this Old Testament prophet. One, by the way, whom we know virtually nothing about. In fact, scholars don't even agree on the meaning of his name or the origin of the name or the word Habakkuk. We know almost nothing about him except his character, which is a character of courage and inquiry and curiosity and godliness, as we'll see in just a moment. One of the reasons that we don't spend a lot of devotional time in the Old Testament prophets is because we typically have two extreme views, both of which are wrong, of the Old Testament prophets. One extreme view is that the Old Testament prophets were ignorant, fusty, dusty old men who carried signs around that said, "Repent, for the end is near." And that was pretty much all they did for the history or the duration of their ministry. The other extreme is that the prophets are all about prediction. That prophecy and prophesying means predicting the future. And when we read the prophets, we don't understand what they're talking about. We don't understand how it applies to the future, so we just don't read the prophets. Both of those extremes are wrong. In the first case, they're not fusty, dusty, old, ignorant men. These were some of the most powerful spokesmen of their generation. And these are individuals that God called out of their time and sent them to specific places to preach to specific people the Word of God because God wanted them and God picked them to do that. Some of these men were priests. Some of them were affluent, quite wealthy. Isaiah was well-studied and scholarly. Some, like Jeremiah, were fireballs. Some, like Amos, was a farmer in the south who went to the north and he preached to the people of God in the north a sermon that was so rhetorically exquisite it's still studied today in college speech classes. These were powerful, articulate men of God, and God used them for their time. Yes, prophecy includes looking to the future of what God will do. And often in the New Testament, you hear the Old Testament and the prophets referenced when the New Testament writers realize that the prophets were talking about Christ or talking about their generation. And the Old Testament prophets almost always knew they also were talking about Christ, but just didn't know what his name would be or what he would look like or what all would happen. But also in their generation, more than prediction and prophesying, they were prophets of their time. They read the times and they unfolded God's perspective and God's point of view. They are critical for us to understand because they were critical in their time as well. They had a unique perspective on their generation, their time, what God was doing, and what the people of God were going to experience if they didn't listen to God. That's where we find Habakkuk. In Habakkuk's short book, we have a sermon, a conversation, sermon-like with God. In three short chapters, Habakkuk actually is talking to God, and God is talking to Habakkuk. Because Habakkuk has been preaching to his generation that they need to straighten out, they need to be serving God, the signs of the times are not good for them if they do not get back on board with where God wants to be. He's been preaching God's perspective for his generation. And he's been preaching what God would do, what's going to happen. But it hasn't happened. So Habakkuk does the remarkable thing of confronting God and asking God, "What's going on? You told me to preach this, but this hasn't happened. So I'd like to have a conversation with God." A lot of times the prophets are preaching to the people. What's going to happen if they don't straighten out? They're confronting the people. Habakkuk decides that it's time to talk to God and even to ask God some hard questions. In these short three chapters, that's what he does. In the first chapter, Habakkuk asks God, "Why has what I preach not happened yet?" And God's answer in short is, "Don't worry about it, I have a plan." And then he tells Habakkuk his plan. In chapter 2, where we're going to spend our time, Habakkuk responds to that by saying, "I'm not sure I agree with your plan or that I understand it." Now, to his credit, however, Habakkuk knows that God's word is about God's perspective, God's point of view. That's why he preaches it. So now he decides he needs God's point of view and God's perspective. That's what we need also. Some of you who were here many, many years ago, maybe you've been a member of First Baptist Church all of your life, and you look back over these past 15 years, maybe it hasn't gone the way you thought it would. The second most common question I receive from people who are at First Baptist Church, perhaps for the very first time, is something like, so when are you guys going to build a sanctuary? Where's that sanctuary going to be when you build it? You ever get asked that question? Of course you do. And you thought in your heart of hearts that it would be there by now, right? Let's admit it. Does that mean you were wrong about God's vision when you moved here? Does that mean you were wrong about God's timing? Does that mean you misunderstood God? Does that mean God was wrong in moving us here? Of course not. What we need is God's perspective. What we need is to understand God's point of view and stop looking at it from our point of view, but start looking at the vision from God's point of view. What's happened the last 15 years? What's going to happen the next 15 years? It's all in God's hands. But God help us, we want to understand it. So this series is about having some perspective and seeing the vision from God's point of view. If you have your Bible open by now to Habakkuk, find chapter 2, Habakkuk chapter 2, where we will learn again there is no problem with God's plan. There is no problem with our understanding of the vision. We just need to climb up high with Habakkuk and to look out over the landscape and see what God sees from his point of view. There's a fundamental truth we're going to engage in this series, is that God always fulfills his promises. He always fulfills his vision for the future through people who trust him. But now and then we need to climb up with God and say, can we see it from your point of view? Help us understand what's going on. Chapter 2 and verse 1. We're going to read the first five verses, and that's where we'll spend most of our time in the next few weeks. Chapter 2 and verse 1. Habakkuk says, I will stand at my guard post and station myself on the lookout tower. I will watch to see what he will say to me and what I should reply about my complaint. Now remember, Habakkuk has asked his question. So he says, I need to stay here and see what God's reply is. Verse 2, the Lord answered me, write down this vision, clearly inscribe it on tablets, so one may easily read it. For the vision is yet for the appointed time. It testifies about the end and will not lie. Though it delays, wait for it, since it will certainly come and not be late. Look, his ego is inflated. He is without integrity, but the righteous one will live by faith. Moreover, wine betrays. An arrogant man is never at rest. He enlarges his appetite like Sheol, and like death, he is never satisfied. He gathers all the nations to himself. He collects all the peoples for himself. And we'll stop there. In the first verse, Habakkuk says, I'm going to climb up on the watchtower, and I'm going to look for God and wait and see what God will do. Because Habakkuk knows that he is calling out for God's perspective, God's point of view, and he needs to be ready to receive it. It's no accident that all of the language and all the verbs pertain to military language. And it's the military language of the watchman on the gate or the watchman on the fortress, the ramparts, or the watchtower. The one who is looking for what's happening across the landscape. And in this case, Habakkuk means that he is up on the fortress waiting for his commander to arrive and to tell him what comes next. Waiting for his commander to ride across the plain to show up and explain what he's experiencing and what happens next. To give him a fresh look, a fresh vision, a fresh perspective. Because as Habakkuk knows, he's been down on the ground long enough. Seeing everything from this point of view, now he needs to get up high and see things from God's point of view. Don't we all need to do that occasionally? Not just as a church, but as individuals. You come out of 2018 and maybe it was a mess. Maybe it was confusing, and you carry the same confusion and uncertainty into 2019. If you stay down here, you'll only see it the same way all the time. You'll start, you know what we do? We start determining how God behaves based on our circumstances. We start describing God based on our experience and our circumstances. What we need to do is get up and take a look from God's point of view at our circumstances and say, oh, this is what God sees. There is hope. There is healing. There is help. God does know what he's doing. God did not leave me behind. God has a future. God has a plan. As long as we're down here looking around, that's discouraging. Get up high and take a look, and you'll see what God sees. That's what we want to do for a little while in this series, is climb up with Habakkuk and take a look at what God sees. It does matter where you are as to what you see. It does matter where you are as to what you see. So we're going to start this morning considering our place right here. A physical move to a physical location is about place. And I want you to underscore, God has us in this place for a purpose and for a reason. And not just for a short season, long term. When God moved us here, God had the long look in mind. And we need to see that from his point of view. This past Thursday, China announced that they had put a lunar rover on the backside of the moon. The opposite side of the moon. The far side is often called the dark side of the moon, not because the sun doesn't shine there, but because there's no radio communications received on that side of the moon. So a vessel or a rover on the far side of the moon can't communicate with Earth. They intentionally landed that rover there, but you know what they did to take care of the problem? They sent a satellite into space to communicate with the rover, back and forth with the rover, then the satellite sends the communications to Earth. It does matter where you are. It does matter where you are. And if we want to communicate with God, it matters our perspective. It matters where we are. It matters that we're paying attention. And it matters that we are intentional in making sure we are listening to God and paying attention to what God is saying. When God wants to share his point of view, which he will gladly do, we are the ones that need to be listening and paying attention. We also need to be open to the fact it may not be what we expected God to say. We may not do what we expected God to do. But he is our God, and he knows our future, and he knows where we're going, and he knows what to do. God put us in this place for a purpose. He moved us to this location for a purpose. And the basic truth is God moved us to the right place at the right time to participate with him in what he's going to do next. Let's break it down just a bit. To climb up on that watchtower with Habakkuk and take a look around. Let's learn some things, some basic truths. First, that God puts us in the right place to watch for him. To watch for him. The first military language that Habakkuk uses is that he stands at his post. Now what that means is he has been given an assignment from God, and he is telling the reader, who will read this generations down the road, just like we are, that he did not leave his post. Even though he asked God questions, he did not doubt his assignment. He believed with all his heart that this was the place, this was the post God had put him. He was a soldier of God, and that would not change. Even if he had questions for God, even if he didn't understand everything God was doing, this is where God had put him. This was his assignment, and it remains his assignment. He climbs up in that watchtower because that's his post. And he knows from that place he can watch God coming. And he can see God work. I want to offer to you, folks, the reason God moved us from the site in front of Walmart to here, whether you were part of First Baptist then, you came later like I did, you just showed up this morning and haven't a clue what I'm talking about. God moved First Baptist Church of Shiloh to this location intentionally, purposely, with a plan, because from this location we have a better vantage point of what he's going to do. You might have, God bless you, loved that location. Good for you. From that location you had a vantage point to see those things God did. But God said, First Baptist Church of Shiloh, there's more. And you're not going to see it there. You need to see it here. You need to have this vantage point on your community, this vantage point on the crowd, this vantage point on the great work of God. This is where I want you to be, he says. Your assignment hasn't changed. just your location. God has put us right where we need to be to watch Him work. Secondly, God's put us right where we need to be, puts you right where you need to be, to listen to Him, to listen to Him. Next, Habakkuk says, I stationed myself literally on the rampart, on the top of the fort, the tower of the fortress. I stationed myself here. The term translated stationed literally means presented myself. As a soldier would who stands before his commanding officer, ready for whatever the officer commands. That's what he means. I have stationed myself. I have presented myself. Whatever God wants to say, whatever God commands, whatever God wants to do, here I am. And I know at this station God will speak to me. Why would he know that? Because God's done it before. He has presented himself for action before, and God has shown up, spoken to him, given him his commands. That's what he's waiting for now. He stationed himself there. And notice how he says what his plan is, to see what he will say to me. That sounds kind of odd, doesn't it? He doesn't say to hear what he will say to me. He says to see what he will say to me. Now, the language means that Habakkuk intends to understand what God will say to him. It's very much like when you and I say to someone, oh, I see what you mean. We didn't see their words. What we mean is we grasp with understanding what they have said. That's what Habakkuk means. I have stationed myself, presented myself for my commanding officer. I'm ready for action so that in this state of my assignment, this common place where God has put me, I will understand what he says. Now, what I love about that is he has asked God a hard question and he expects God to answer. He expects God to show up in his scan across the horizon to his commanding officer to show up right there and answer his question. And he is presenting himself, submitting himself, humbling himself to receive that answer. Whatever it is, God, I will receive it. I will listen to you. And I will do what you say. And believe it or not, there's even more to it than that. When he says, I want to see what he says, that is to understand and to grasp, it implies what unfolds throughout the remainder of chapter 2. And that is that God has a new, fresh vision, literally in the language, a revelation that he will share with Habakkuk. And Habakkuk believes that. There will be something I need to understand. There's something I'm going to hear I haven't heard before. And as the term revelation means, something God will tell me that I would not know if God did not tell me. That's what a revelation is. A revelation is God telling you something you would not know if God did not tell you. God showing you something you would not know if God had not shown you. The Bible opens with an example of this. Apart from God telling us, would we grasp that we are created in the image of God? And those who jettison the Bible don't see it. Revelation is God telling us what we would not know if God had not told us. And Habakkuk says, God's got something to say. And I'm going to put myself in the right place to hear it, to listen to him. I believe God has put us in this place. This is the right place to hear the next thing God wants us to do. This is the right place to listen to the hurts of our community, to reach out and evangelize to our community. This is the right place for us right here, right now, and will continue to be to listen to God, to minister to his people and to one another and to this world. God put us in the right place to listen to him. Then third, God put us in the right place to respond to him. To respond to him. God never shows up and speaks just to give us good information. God calls us out to respond to him. God has something to say and he wants you and I to respond to him. And when God shows up to the church and God puts the church in a particular place for a particular time, God intends for that church to respond to him and to carry on what God wants that church to do. And Habakkuk says, I will wait for his reply to my complaint. The word translated complaint can be reproof. Now here's what Habakkuk actually is saying. I'm going to position myself to hear God's response to my complaint so I know how to respond to his response. In the original language, that's the idea. It's scooped up in the whole idea of responding to God. He has asked God a question. He believes God will answer, and that answer will absolutely include action. What does God want me to do? Now, he's not sure that God will not rebuke him, that God will not discipline him, that God will not reprove him. But you see in verse 2, when God shows up, what God says, there's no reproof, there's no rebuke, there's only action. And God says, pick up a pen and write down the next thing I'm going to say. That's God's answer. Because Habakkuk has put himself in the right place. He has stayed on his assignment. He has done what God wanted him to do. And when he has a question and he believes God has more to tell him and more to do, he waits on God. God shows up and God says, Habakkuk, you're right. There's more to come. There's more to do. And I'm going to share it with you right now. Why would God do that? Because Habakkuk believed that he was in the right place at the right time for God's word. It is a dangerous assumption, a faulty, terrible assumption, to even remotely think we are here at this site, this location, accidentally or by our own design. No. I'm excited to tell you that in the days ahead, those of you who are not familiar with the story of the move to this site will hear the story again, and you will be blown away of how God worked. You will be blown away of how God worked. So never let us think for a moment, God did not put us in this place. And never let us pause and complain that God's not doing what we think he should be doing. You and I tend to look at this place and time as our place and time. God looks at it as eternity. He's got all kinds of time. Our only job is to do what God's called us to do in our time, right now, in this generation. In these next few weeks, I want to invite you to climb up on the watchtower with me. I want to invite you to stop looking at your life or this church's life or our community from the bottom and climb up on the watchtower with me. I want us to scan the horizon. I want us to believe God for great things. I want us to say the past 15 years, God was wonderful. We can't even imagine what's in store the next 15. When Habakkuk climbed up on that watchtower, it's not so much where he was going as what he was leaving behind. He was leaving behind the distractions, the naysayers, the negative people. He was leaving behind all those people down there that would be saying, you know, God should be doing this. God should be doing that. God should be doing this. Why doesn't God do this? Why doesn't God do that? And sometimes we need to get away from the distraction a little bit, climb up on the watchtower and say, God, talk to us. We just want to hear from God. We just want to hear from God. Because at the end of the day, just one thing matters. There's only one First Baptist Church of Shalot. And the only thing we can ever do wrong is not do what God placed us here to do. You and I are going to stand before God one day. And he is not going to hold me accountable or you accountable for what Camp United Methodist Church did, for what Calvary Baptist Church did, for what Highest Praise Church did, for what New Beginnings Church did. Great churches, wonderful people. No. He's going to say, oh, you are part of First Baptist Church of Shalot. Yeah. So climb up on the watchtower with me. And let's see what God has to say. Let's respond as God's calling us to respond. And I want to remind you, not only as a church, but for us individually, we have a tendency as people to get distracted by what everybody around us says. You need to be doing this. You need to be that kind of person. This wouldn't be happening in your life if you were right with God. Why are you believing in God? He's let you down. 2018, that was a mess. On and on it goes. You need to climb up into the watchtower and spend some time with God. You need to be reminded Jesus Christ died on the cross for you. For you. And if you will trust Him, if you will trust Him as your Savior, He will forgive you of your sins and change your life. If you will trust Him for 2019, He has a plan and a purpose for you. Get up on the watchtower. Stay away from the distractions. Pay attention to who God says you are and what God wants to do in your life in 2019. Maybe this morning you leave behind 2018 with a big sigh of relief. I'm so glad that year's over. But you don't really feel ready for 2019 with 2018 behind you. I want to challenge you to give it to God. Just give it to God this morning. Say, God, let me start a brand new year hearing you, following you, listening to you. You've got something new for me, God, and I want to find out what that is. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we are here because you put us here. The First Baptist Church of Shiloh is here because you put us here by your design. Not by accident. God, how we thank you so much for those visionaries, those people you put it in their heart so long ago to move to this site, to serve you from this place. And Father, we are all in this room by your design, not by accident. We're here today, God, because you've called us here. Maybe we needed to hear this message and rally with Habakkuk on the watchtower personally because 2018 was a tough year. And we need to hear from you going into 2019. God, help us with that. I pray for us, Father, we would give everything to you that concerns us and burdens us this morning. All the struggles of the past, the sins that need to be forgiven. God, we bring all of that to you. So, Father, first, I pray for us individually. But, God, as a church moving forward also, I pray we would catch a fresh vision, that we would rise above it all and go into the watchtower with you to stay there, understand you and hear from you and follow you fresh. God, speak to us. Speak to us, your people, at the First Baptist Church of Shiloh. Father, in this time of response, I pray, God, that for those who need to come to the altar just to pray, maybe to unburden themselves, maybe to leave 2018 behind. I pray for those, God, who need to recommit their lives to Christ today. I pray for those, Father, who would trust Jesus Christ as their Savior for the very first time today. God, I pray for whatever decisions we need to make. I pray for those who need to join fellowship with this church to start a brand new year. Those who need to be baptized, God. Whatever decisions we need to make. Father, how I pray you would move in our midst by the power of your Holy Spirit. And that he would speak to us. He would change us, God. He would move us with urgency to respond to you. Let 2019 be different, not because of us, but because of Christ. And it's in his precious name we pray. Amen.